Chapter 29. Going for a Paddle. "I think it looks more like a Hog's Watch Night ornament," said the senior wrangler later, as the wizards took a pre-dinner drink and stared into the omniscope at the glittering white world. "Quite pretty, really."
"Bango the blobs," said Ponder Stibbons.
"Foot," said the Dean cheerfully. "More sherry, Arch-Chancellor."
"Perhaps some instability in the sun," Ponder mused.
"Made by unskilled labour," said Arch-Chancellor Ridcully. "Bound to happen sooner or later. Then it's nothing but frozen death, the tea-time of the gods and an eternity of cold."
"Snuffleheim," said the Dean, who'd got to the sherry ahead of everyone else.
"According to Hex, the air of the planet has changed," said Ponder.
"Bit academic now, isn't it?" said the senior wrangler.
"Ah, I've got an idea," said the Dean, beaming. "We can get Hex to reverse the thalamic flow in a chthonic matrix of the optimized bidirection octagonus, can't we?"
"Well, that's the opinion of four glasses of sherry," said the Arch-Chancellor briskly, to break the ensuing silence. "However, if I may express a preference, something that isn't complete gibberish would be more welcome next time, please. So, Mr. Stibbons, is this the end of the world?"
"And if it is," said the senior wrangler, "are we going to have a lot of heroes turning up?"
"What are you talking about, man?" said Ridcully.
"Well, the Dean seems to think we're like gods, and a great many mythologists suggest that when heroes die, they go to feast forever in the halls of the gods," said the senior wrangler.
"I just need to know if I should alert the kitchens, that's all."
"They're only blobs," said Ridcully. "What can they do that's heroic?"
"I don't know. Stealing something from the gods is a very classical way," the senior wrangler mused.
"Are you saying we should check our pockets?" said the Arch-Chancellor.
"Well, I haven't seen my penknife lately," the senior wrangler. "It was just a thought, anyway."
Ridcully slapped the despondent Stibbons on the back. "Cheer up, lad," he roared. "It was a wonderful effort. Admittedly, the outcome was a lot of blobs with the intelligence of pea soup, but you shouldn't let utter hopeless failure get you down."
"We never do," said the Dean.
It was after breakfast next day when Ponder Stibbons wandered into the high-energy magic building. A scene of desolation met his eye. There were cups and plates everywhere. Paper littered the floor. Forgotten cigarettes had etched their charred trails on the edge of desks. A half-eaten sardine, cheese and blackcurrant pizza, untouched for days, was inching its way to safety. Sighing, he picked up a broom and went over the tray containing Hex's overnight write-out. It seemed a lot fuller than he would have expected.
"Not just blobs. There's all sorts of stuff, some of it's wiggling."
"Is that a plant, or is it an animal?"
"I'm sure it's a plant."
"Isn't it walking rather fast?"
"I don't know. I've never seen a plant walking before."
The wizardry of UU was filtering back in the building as the news got around. The senior members of the faculty were clustered around the omniscope, explaining to one another, now that the impossible had happened, that of course it had been inevitable.
"All those cracks under the sea," said the Dean, "and the volcanoes, of course. Heat's bound to build up over time."
"That doesn't explain all the different shapes, though," said the senior wrangler. "I mean, the whole sea looks like somebody had just turned over a very big stone."
"I suppose the blobs had time to consider their future when they were under the ice," said the Dean. "I suppose you could think of it as a very long winter evening."
"I vote for lavatories," said the lecturer in recent runes. "Well, I'm sure we all do," said Ridcully, "but why at this point?"
"I mean that the blobs were, you know, excusing themselves for millions and millions of years. Then you get a lot of, manure," the lecturer ventured.
"A shitload," said the Dean.
"Dean, really?"
"Sorry, Arch-Chancellor."
"And we know dunghills absolutely teem with life," the lecturer went on.
"They used to think that rubbish heaps actually generated rats," said Ridcully. "Of course, that was just a superstition. It's really seagulls. But you saying life is, as it were, advancing by eating dead men's shoes? Or blobs, in this case, not shoes, of course, because they didn't have any feet. And wouldn't have been bright enough to invent shoes even if they did. And even if they had been, they couldn't have done. Because there was, at that time, nothing from which shoes might be made. But, apart from that, the metaphor stands."
"There still are blobs in there," said the Dean. "There's just lots of other things, too."
"Any of it looking intelligent?" said Ridcully.
"I'm not certain how we'd spot that at this stage."
"Simple. Is anything killing something it doesn't intend to eat?"
They stared into the teeming broth.
"Bit hard to define intentions, really," said the Dean after a while.
Well, does anything look as if it is about to become intelligent?
They watched again.
That thing like two spiders joined together, said the senior wrangler after a while. It looks very thoughtful.
I think it looks very dead.
Look, I can see how we can settle this whole evolution business once and for all, said Ridcully, turning away. Mr. Stebbins, can Hex use the omniscope to see if anything changes into anything else?
Over a moderately sized area, I think he probably can, sir.
Get it to pay attention to the land, said the Dean. Is there anything happening on the land?
There's a certain greenishness, sir. Seaweed with attitude, really.
That's where the interesting stuff will happen, mark my words. I don't know what this universe is using for narrativium, but land's where we'll see any intelligent life.
How do you define intelligence, said Ridcully?
In the long term, I mean. Universities are a good sign, said the Dean, to general approval.
You don't think that perhaps fire and the wheel might be more universally indicative, said Ponder carefully.
Not if you live in the water, said the senior wrangler. The sea's the place here, I'll be bound. On this world, practically nothing happens on the land.
But in the water, everything's eating each other.
Then I'll look forward to seeing what happens to the last one served, said the senior wrangler.
No, when it comes to universities, the land's the place, said the Dean. Paper won't last 5 minutes underwater. Wouldn't you say so, librarian?
The librarian was still staring into the omniscope.
Ook, he said.
What's that he said? Said Ridcully. He said, I think the senior wrangler might be right, said Ponder, going over to the omniscope.
Oh, look at this.
The creature had at least 4 eyes and 10 tentacles. It was using some of the tentacles to maneuver a slab of rock against another slab.
It's building a bookcase, said Ridcully.
Or possibly a crude rock shelter, said Ponder Stibbons.
There we are, then, said the senior wrangler. Personal property. Once something is yours, of course you want to improve it. The first step on the road to progress.
I'm not sure it's got actual legs, said Ponder.
The first slither, then, said the senior wrangler, as the rock slipped from the creature's tentacles. We should help it, he added firmly. After all, it wouldn't be here if it wasn't for us.
Hold on, hold on, said the lecturer in recent runes. It's only making a shelter. I mean, the bower bird builds intricate nests, doesn't it? And the clock cuckoo even builds a clock for its mate, and no one says they're intelligent as such.
Obviously not, said the Dean. They never get the numerals right. The clocks fall apart after a few months, and they generally lose 2 hours a day. That doesn't sound like intelligence to me.
What are you suggesting, Runes? Said Ridcully. Why don't we send young Rincewind down again in that virtually there suit, with a trowel, perhaps, and an illustrated manual on basic construction? Would they be able to see him?
Gentlemen, said Ponder, who had been letting the eye of the omniscope drift further into the shallows.
I don't see why not, said Ridcully.
It's one thing to push planets around over millions of years, but at this level we couldn't even give our builder down there a heavy pat on the back, said the Dean, even if we knew which part of him was his back.
Something's paddling, sir. Something's going for a paddle, sir. It was probably the strangest cry of warning since the famous "Should the reactor have gone that colour?" The wizards clustered around the omniscope. Something had gone for a paddle. It had hundreds of little legs.